In a few words, the first few words that come to mind, how would you describe 2020? Put it in the audio time capsule. So 30 years from now, when somebody opens up 2020 and just gets that first initial top line on what this year was all about, what are the words that come to mind?
I can't.
You can swear if you need to. You can swear.
Like, in fucking sane.
It has been an absurd year. So, let's listen back. This is the WUNC Politics Podcast. I'm Jeff Tiberi. A global pandemic, racial reckoning, and the highest stakes election, at least in our state, since at least 1980. Ho-hum, 2020. It seems like there was a decade of news in the past 12 months. For journalists across the state, it has been, if nothing else, a different kind of year. So, I thought it might be interesting to hear from a few reporters. I got on the phone and the Zoom with some of my colleagues from the Capitol Press Corps and others from my own newsroom for a few audio vignettes. My aim was to capture some of the historic, hilarious, terrifying, noteworthy, otherwise mundane, that these journalists experienced in 2020. And I asked them for a reflection or two.
So I'm Rose Hoban. I'm the editor of North Carolina Health News. Okay, the G version is insane, like completely bananas.
Rose is also the founder of NC Health News. Typically, they publish about 275 stories a year about many health-related topics. This year, they've posted more than 300 stories about COVID alone. Rose's 2020 memory comes from a committee meeting that took place back in March. That's when State Health Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen gave a grim forecast of what was ahead and a quick acronym decoder. You'll hear Rose mention HHS. That stands for Health and Human Services.
You and I had been at a press conference the week earlier at Emergency Operations where Dr. Cohen started to raise the alarm. And I remember you and I went up to her afterwards because we both had travel planned. I was going to go to New York to see my mom, who's 92. And you and your wife were looking to go on a vacation to France. And at the time, she was like, oh, you know, and she was like, you should wash your hands, maybe wear a mask on the plane, wipe down your seat. So the following week, it was a Tuesday, and because that's the day they do HHS oversight. And we got in there, and it's, you know, a crowded room. The room was packed. And they're all sitting around that U-shaped table. And I do remember seeing a number of bottles of Purell sitting on the table. That was before it was a shortage of it and when people could still get it. And she got up and her tone was so much more. Wow. I just remember being like stunned by how dire her tone seemed from the week before. And I said to her afterwards, I said, you know, Dr. Cohen, like you and I talked last week and I asked you about my travel plans to see my 92-year-old mother. And she said, well, before you get to your mother's house, when you get to New York, I would hop in the shower. And I was like, really? And you said, well, you know, my wife and I are planning going to Paris on Friday. And she said, you should be prepared to be stranded.
That's right. I remember her saying, you should be prepared to not be able to get home.
Right.
And that blew my mind.
And the two of us like looked at one another. We were like, damn.
If you're wondering, no, we did not get on that plane to Paris.
I'm Dawn Vaughn, reporter with the News and Observer, and I cover state government and politics. So I'm in the Capitol Press Corps with the rest of y'all.
Don and I share a workspace in the bowels of the North Carolina General Assembly. And remember, it was our beat that people thought would be the story of 2020.
Right, the election was supposed to be the big story of the year. Remember, primary day was the day that North Carolina saw its first COVID-19 case that we were aware of. And then everything changed. So covering the election was everything. Everything is coronavirus. So really the things that stand out were how much that impacted reporting, working virtually, how do you cover things and do it when you're not there in person? How do you cover it when you are in person, which is crazy because you're masked and distant and worried and everything else. And what stands out, one of probably the story that I reported on most this year, spent about a month on it, was looking into this ethics complaint that Senator Erica Smith levied against several of her colleagues, mostly Democrats, and trying to get them to talk to me during a pandemic with everybody masked and realizing that, you know, when you don't call or email me back, I need to talk to you in person. So I will have to chase you in the hallway if I have to. And waiting for a senator, you know, to leave the floor and following him in the hall with my mask on, with his mask on, because he was a Democrat. Not all Republicans were masked, or they didn't at that point. And that was just a really surreal moment of doing that. And just the, you know, if you didn't know the context, just the absurdity of chasing someone in the hallway wearing a mask, you know. So that really is 2020, I feel like.
Hi, this is Jason DeBruin. I'm the data reporter for North Carolina Public Radio. I'm also the reporter that lives the closest to downtown Raleigh, and so I tend to pick up a lot of the city coverage as well. What's going to stick with me most about 2020, I think clearly, is the protests. It was incredible to be out there that first weekend in downtown Raleigh, and I'm very proud of the coverage that we did. Both myself and the rest of my colleagues at WUNC, you know, we did not fall into the trap of the quote, you know, buildings matter too, building lives matter too. We were very clear about what the movement was and is about. And I'm very proud of that coverage. But more than that, it was very emotional to be a part of something, you know, that's bigger than yourself. Not that I was a part of the protest, of course, but just being in the atmosphere. You know, I was there when the statues were ripped down, right? I was there on the mornings when the crane pulled down the rest of the statue. These are history-making moments. And, you know, clearly as a journalist, you want to be there. But just as a human, it's interesting to be a part of something that will likely be written about in history books or that people will, you know, talk about perhaps even 50 years from now. The other thing that will stick with me was the news collaborative that WUNC joined, the North Carolina Watchdog News Network. This is a group of seven newsrooms that typically compete with each other. You know, you think about WRAL, News and Observer, Charlotte Observer. These are organizations that would often compete with each other for stories. But we decided that when it comes to coronavirus coverage, we want to join forces. And we've decided that the whole can be greater than the sum of our parts, to use a cliche. And I think we've done that, and I think we've been able to bring good stories to a lot of North Carolinians that probably would not have happened without the collaborative. So that's another thing that will definitely stick with me for a long time.
Hello, I'm Leonida Inge, race and Southern culture reporter at WUNC and co-host of the podcast Tested. And boy, have I been tested. And these 300 emails I get every day is not helping. So, Jeff, you want to know what story has stuck with me the most in 2020? A couple of months ago, I would have said the story I produced on funerals and COVID-19 and the importance of being able to say goodbye, even in a pandemic. Well, I try and balance those stories now with more uplifting reporting. So I sought out a longtime friend, comedian Roy Wood Jr., with Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, a favorite interview of mine in 2020. I call the podcast episode Live, Laugh, breathe, because I can only assume that many people are tired and stressed like me, covering the big election, eating lots, walking little, all that stuff. And the American Psychological Association was reporting that the 2020 presidential election was more stressful on Americans than the 2016 presidential race. Surprise there. Well, I spoke with Roy after the election on November 3rd, so I could finally relax. Really? Roy said this election isn't over. I wonder what people are going to be saying in the next week or so about this election. Some people are going to be laughing, some people are going to be crying.
You think this is going to be over in a week?
Yes!
This thing ain't about to be over in no week. This thing going all the way to Christmas.
No.
It's going all day, about to drag out every court order, ruling. Man, please. And you know when Trump leaves, you know he tearing everything down. He ain't going to get his deposit back.
And here we are. But I must say I'm trying to relax more, eat less, complain less, laugh more, and I don't know about you, Jeff, but I'm also trying to work less, because this year has been off the chain. Happy holidays, Jeff!
Leonida, happy holidays to you too. And as you relax, hopefully you're planning to relax these next couple of weeks, here's a friendly reminder to subscribe, download, and enjoy our other twice-a-week podcast, Tested. Leonida hosts it on Fridays. My colleague Dave DeWitt, who launched the Politics Pod with me nearly 5 years ago, brings it home on Tuesdays. Tested is really good, and it's a testament to the growth of WUNC as a news organization. We launched it as the pandemic hit, evolved it over the summer, and there are some good plans ahead for Tested on the 2021 horizon. So, stay tuned. All right, one more vignette for you.
Travis Fain, I am the State House reporter for WRAL.
Like many of you, Travis has been largely working from home, where recently he has been helping his twins navigate the third grade, all the while trying to hold elected officials accountable. When I emailed Travis to ask him about participating in this podcast and a story that stood out to him from 2020, he mentioned David Lewis. The Republican from Harnett County has been one of the leading figures in the state house for several years. In July, Lewis announced he would not seek re-election. A month later, he abruptly resigned his seat. That same day, we learned that he had pleaded guilty to two federal crimes, a felony charge related to making false statements to a bank, and a misdemeanor for filing taxes late.
This might be weird, but I remember not being able to get in touch with him. And this was for maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the announcement actually came down. And this was, you know, a pretty clear indication that something was wrong. Because not only could I not get in touch with him, other people who knew him said he wasn't returning their calls. So there was, you know, there was some level of just worry for your fellow man in that. Once somebody that you're used to being able to get on the telephone and you know something is wrong with, stops taking your calls. And that's a kind of a weird thing to remember, maybe, but that I remember sitting on my bed in my bedroom and just calling different people on that story and not having a lot of luck.
As we reflect a little bit on that story 4 months later, in many other years, a relatively powerful state legislator going down in that fashion would probably be one of the most memorable moments of the year. It might be something of an afterthought in 2020.
And it was a blip at the time. It didn't get a ton of coverage, maybe because no one was talking, but also because, you know, when you weigh that against, well, there are all these unemployed people who can't get their benefits, and, you know, there's billions of dollars coming down from the federal government, and people are getting sick, and, you know, there are press conferences twice a week where we talk about how we deal with this global pandemic. You know, everything starts to take a backseat. And of course, then the election. I don't know. I honestly feel like I've just failed one thing after another this year. And maybe other people feel like that too. Maybe that's just the way it is. But I don't feel like the press, I don't know. I don't know what my expectations were, but you look around and you see people who won't believe that the sun rose this morning if the wrong person tells them, and you think, well, what did I just spend, you know, half my life trying to accomplish?
I do think that that's an unfair burden to put entirely on the press, right? Like in this moment of dissonance theory, dissonance exercise, this constant, I think it's important for us to continue to try to combat misinformation and straight up lies, but we can't do it alone, right? Like, I don't know. I don't mean for that to sound like a cheap excuse. Like it's deeply frustrating, but we're not going to fix it.
And you know what? That's probably something else I'll take away from this year is all the Republicans just kind of kowtowing to the president and refusing to acknowledge that Joe Biden won this election. I mean, when they know he did, I mean, you and I have had enough conversations both on and off the record with some of the people who have kind of become truth deniers to just be shocked by it and just to assume that it's a grift, that it's for fundraising, that it's so that the president doesn't tweet at them. And, you know, this obviously wasn't the first year that became an issue, far from it. But it's probably the year where I'll think, okay, you know, 5 years from now when this person, this is when they lost their credibility, a lot of people. So this was the final straw.
Travis Fain, State House reporter, WRAL. You're in my closet again. That's where you have been pretty much every time you've listened to the WNC Politics podcast in 2020. My existence here in this year has, at least professionally, existed largely inside of the closet off of our bedroom, in between the shirts and suits that no longer need wearing, and also adjacent to the meshwear and hooded sweatshirts. I hook up a sheet over my head. This is where I've been for so much of the year, but it's not entirely where I've been this year. I wanted to share with you a reflection from my 2020, and it comes from one of the few times that I was out in the real world, so to speak, doing reporting, and not in this closet, welcoming members of Congress and state lawmakers to Zoom calls and phone calls and interviews that I didn't think I would have been doing a year ago at this time. One of the times I did make it out into the real world was back in early June. It was to Rayford, North Carolina, where George Floyd was remembered. It was on a weekend afternoon, a hot day, of course, here in the South. It was powerful, saddening, in some ways inspiring. I filed a story for NPR. It ran the next morning. And later that night, after I came home and saw my son and my wife, I just found my mind racing. So I sat down and tapped out some of what I had, I don't know, felt, experienced that day. And I haven't done anything really with that until now. So I wanted to share with you what I wrote. Head burned, eyes burned. I filed into the very last pew in the back right of a big church in rural North Carolina. The media entered before close family. I had already seen George Floyd, open casket. I stood along the aisle of that church and watched as family and friends entered, observing their faces, body language, clothes, and gait. Many had eyes straight forward, demonstrating a focus that signaled to me they were just trying to keep it together. Gospel music played, an organ. Then the singing commenced. A few mourners entered the parish and immediately put their hands up. It struck me as sort of a holy motion, a wave to Jesus or God, or maybe just simply the comfort of a religious sanctuary. No one seemed to look at me, one of the few white people in the room. I stood there with my face covered by an N95 mask, the weight of a murder on my mind as a pandemic continues to infiltrate. My bald head was burned, the result of walking around outside for about an hour and a half without sunscreen, something I'm usually quite diligent about using. I tapped my foot and moved my fingers to the beat, just a little. It was hard not to. Then I glanced to my left and looked down at a little girl. Our eyes locked, and I smiled. But she couldn't see that. She had a mask on, too. This young girl, blue dress, black skin, probably wasn't more than 7, maybe 8. What was she thinking? How much did she understand? Was she overwhelmed? Angry? Our eyes remained connected. Was she smiling? What did she think of me? What does she think of white people? It was one of these moments that amounted to a few seconds, but felt like a couple of minutes. As she walked past, her head craned to the right and upward, for now the briefest final moment, continuing to glance at me. Then her head adjusted back to a straight-ahead gaze. I had seen several children throughout the early afternoon. Hours earlier, a little black boy wearing an adorable plaid shirt draped over his father's right shoulder as they headed past the standstill traffic and toward the church to look at a corpse. The boy looked about the same size as my son, who was a little more than 2 at the time. There was a little white girl with a pink dress on, holding her father's hand. He was tall, and they both had blonde hair. She might have been 5. They, too, had walked past the body of the man who had been killed 2 weeks earlier by a now former and since charged with murder police officer. And in that moment, in that rural North Carolina church, as the little girl in the blue dress walked away, I thought about these kids. I swear to you, I did. I thought about these kids growing old and the dangers that await and the worries of their parents and what I will have to one day talk to my son about. And what I won't. The absolute best part of 2020, it's beyond a silver lining for me, has been the extended time that I've had with my son, who will turn 3 in April. I've juggled daddy daycare and reporting and podcasting for you. Hopefully you haven't noticed too much, because that's not the idea, but I've loved being able to hang out with my son, and I have heard from many of you via the text and the email and the direct message after hearing my son. If you listen all the way to the end of the podcast, I have included some little snippets of him, of his voice, which is totally selfish, but also absolutely cute as well, right? So I did want to share with you that there will be another voice that we will hopefully have an opportunity to let you hear in 2021.
Mama having a baby.
Are you going to be a big brother soon?
Yeah.
Is Mama pregnant?
Yeah.
Can you say, Mama's pregnant?
Mama pregnant.
The little boy is going to be a big brother, if you didn't catch that. Baby numero dos arrives in April. So, silver linings throughout this odd and exhausting year. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for listening and downloading and sharing and being part of the community that engages in state politics. My name is Jeff Tiberi. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy birthday to me. That's late December. And happy anniversary to my wife. We've been married 7 years next week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.